Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Now, we'll be talking about the prospect of 50-year mortgages in a moment or two. But first this, over the last 25 years, Ireland has changed. Our voices have got louder, our culture has reached further, and some extraordinary people have helped to shape it all. From trailblazers in the arts and social change, leaders in sport, music and on the big screen, we're counting down the most influential Irish people of the last 25 years. And you, the listeners, have been voting for who you think are the most influential people that moved us and inspired us. This is part of News Talk's 25 of 25. And you have picked your winner for Best Musician. Our reporter Henry McKean took to the streets to see what the good people of Dublin thought about that.
What Irish artist, what Irish musician has made an impact, had a huge influential impact on you over the last 25 years?
I definitely think Kneecap would be one, letting their political views be known through their music. And they've been travelling all around the world, especially to like Australia, to where Irish people have immigrated to, spreading their what their views are on the politics of Ireland and England, and the whole what to do with the government, about the six counties, about immigrants, all of that. I feel like they get the message across to young people very well through their music.
So CMAT, Kneecap that you mentioned, Fontaines DC are on the list, Sinead O'Connor, Lancome,
Hosier.
Sinead O'Connor would be huge for me. Yeah,
Sinead O'Connor.
Yeah, I'd have grown up in that era. So yeah, absolutely. I really just loved. I loved everything about her, and I think she was so ahead of her time. And yeah, she was vilified a lot, but she was amazing.
And she had such a hard time.
She had such
a hard time.
She made such an impact, and she just kept going anyway in the face of adversity. She
and,
really kept going.
And she's no longer with us.
No, unfortunately, no.
For me, I'd have to say U2, what they've... it's been a journey with them over all the years.
And U2 have achieved so much, and sometimes we do overlook their impact. They really are a global world band.
Absolutely. Maybe not on the radar at the moment, but what they've done, what they've achieved as a band, and especially with Bono and all he has done with World Debt.
And he's done a lot for World Debt. I mean, he cancelled African debt, didn't he?
Incredible, incredible. You know, lots of people around, but with his influence, his profile... He worked really hard to get that done. It was amazing.
Okay, and to find out who you did vote as winner, stay listening to Andrea on Lunchtime Live, and she will give you the final count on that. Now, regarding the 50-year mortgage, it seems like a reintroduction of indentured servitude, making people slaves of a sort to the system for the rest of their lives, paying the banks way over the odds for a home that will probably be taken off your family with inheritance taxes when you die. A disgraceful proposal and not a real solution. If Trump endorses it, it should be warning enough. That's from Mick in County Meath. But still, it's been described as a potential game changer in terms of helping people currently priced out of the housing market to get a foot on the property ladder. The 50-year mortgage would allow someone to borrow for a longer term, which would mean lower monthly repayments, which in turn could make housing more affordable. Now, you would pay a lot more back over the full 50 years of the mortgage, but your monthly outgoings would be lower. Joining me to talk about this further is the Managing Director of Navigating Mortgages, Margaret Barrett. Margaret, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I'm very well, but I'm perplexed by this proposal. You know, anything that Donald Trump endorses, I am always suspicious of, because if you shake hands with him, you count your fingers when you get your hand back. So what do you think?
And totally agree. I think it's a good soundbite coming out of the US, is my opinion. It certainly will not be a solution for our property crisis that we're experiencing here in Ireland. You do not want a mortgage, Pat, into your 80s and 90s. It's quite simple. Whilst it might be attractive for buyers that are maybe potentially in their early 20s. We know the first time buyer here in Ireland is aged 35 to 36, which means that if they take a 50-year mortgage, they're paying their mortgage into their mid to late 80s, which is not good financial advice, let's be honest.
Okay, now in the US, when they're suggesting this, and Trump is supporting this idea, I mean, it does depend on the availability of something to buy. We have a problem here that there's nothing to buy.
Absolutely. And that is our number one problem. And it's simple economics, Pat. You know what I mean? It really is supply and demand. We are building a lot fewer houses than we were back in our 2005, 2006, when we were delivering over 80,000 units per annum. We'll be all out this year to deliver into the 40,000s. And that is set to continue, unfortunately, for the next couple of years. The outlook, you know, after that, please God, will brighten up. We will see a slightly higher supply coming into the Irish market next year. But we're still well below the 60, 70,000 units that's required to even stay within the races of supply. So we've a myriad of issues. You know, we have planning issues, we have supply issues. You know, we have plenty of first-time buyers that are trying to get on their property ladder, Pat. We have more lenders in the Irish market than we had in the previous years. They're open for lending. They have very good credit policies. And we now talking, you know, when we're now talking about a 50-year term, we have lenders that will lend a 40-year term into the Irish market, which we didn't have a couple of years ago. So there is significant choice for buyers in the market. The problem is supply.
Now, one of the things that exists in other jurisdictions, and I'm thinking particularly of Japan, where they have a cross-generational mortgage, where you have a long mortgage, could be 80 years for heaven's sake, but you take it on for your lifetime, you leave it to your kids. Not alone do they get the house, they get a debt as well to go along with the house. They get a mortgage that they continue to pay. I mean, does that make sense, where everyone is upfront about what's going to happen, contracts are signed, listen, we're taking out a very long mortgage, which means very low repayments. When we're gone, you get the house, and your low repayments, negotiated now, will be almost minuscule when you take over the mortgage in...
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.
40 years' time or 30 years' time, you know. That
yeah,
kind of
absolutely.
Idea.
Absolutely. I don't actually necessarily see any negatives with that kind of project. We don't have it in the Irish market. And, you know, any project that comes into the market that's new, Pat, is actually a positive thing because it puts choice on the table for buyers. What we're seeing on the ground is for the likes of our first-time buyers that are trying to get that foothold onto the ladder is, number one, is affordability. We now have central bank lending rules that are quite stringent that we're in, you know, the loan-to-income multiple was introduced in 2015. It was not there in our property boom. So they're constrained into the amount they can borrow, which is four times their combined income. So that automatically puts an affordability issue in place for them. If they're living in rental accommodation, Pat, that is, in our view, the hardest part of buying a property in Ireland, because you need the 10% deposit plus your fees, which is your 1% stamp duty, legal fees, so on and so forth. Getting that deposit, if you're paying extortionate rents, is quite difficult. And what we're finding is that our clients are taking a step backwards in life. They're moving back into the family home to try save for that deposit. They're afraid to take any major career changes because the bank may frown on same and could end up inside a probationary period. So life becomes a little bit stalled as they're trying to get onto that property ladder. We have government supports to help, but they're only available on new built properties, and they have price ceilings on all of those, which is to help to buy in the first home scheme. And those price ceilings have now been outpaced by property inflation and have nearly become dysfunctional, Pat, to be quite honest. Price ceilings for Dublin and the help to buy help to buys across Ireland is 500,000. We now know a three bed semi detached, and especially Dublin and Cork City is well passing that out. The first home scheme is 475 and as low as 350 for a price ceiling across Ireland. Again, nearly becoming dysfunctional.
Now, your starter home, certainly in recent times, starter home, a generation ago would have been maybe a two-bed terraced house in a new development. That might be your starter home. Then you move on as you have a family and so on to bigger accommodation. Nowadays, the last generation, the current generation, the starter home is generally the small apartment. Yep. Now, the problem is, certainly in the Dublin area, very few of those for sale. You've got big investors, be it the developers themselves, who hang on to the property and rent it because they see it as a lifetime earner, or institutional investors coming in who are scouring the world, really, for investment opportunities, which give them a guaranteed repayment for the foreseeable future, which means that that apartment that you wanted to buy is not even available. It's not on the market anymore.
Yeah, absolutely. And those investors are actually needed in the market as well, Pat, because we also have a rental crisis on the flip side. So we do need them to come in so that we can get those properties into the rental sector of the market. But you are correct that, you know, there is so many buyers for the one property now. The supply is even more is even more stringent. The government are also a competitor to our first-time buyers because they're also buying them for, you know, the rent-to-home scheme. You know what I mean by that? So we have significant amount of competition within the property market for a very limited supply. And we see that, and every broker in Ireland will tell you, you know, we carry probably over 50% of house hunters on our mortgage books that are actively looking, trying to purchase. And unfortunately, they do not find that property within the first 12 to 18 months of being mortgage approved. So it's a real struggle, real longevity process that leaves our customers quite deflated, Pat, to be quite honest, by the time they get there.
Now, who's building what at the moment? Because the plea is from the small builders who used to maybe build a small estate of between 60 and 100 houses. Some of would be terraced, some would be semis, some might be even detached. But the small builder would do that and they would finance it as they go. They'd sell phase one, the first 10 houses, then they'd sell phase two and so on and so forth. Those builders are crying out for funding and opportunity. And they're saying, if you let us at it, we will build, but we can't build eight-story apartments. We can't finance those, and maybe we don't even have the expertise, but we can build very high-rated, energy-rated houses, which it appears the planners don't want anymore.
Yeah. Well, planning has a significant amount of knots in its decision making that need to be ironed out fairly lively and so that we can actually get land and property to market. There's a myriad of issues there, Pat. You know, the small builder absolutely is slightly more restricted than the larger developer from a funding perspective. It is a struggle, and it's something maybe the central bank needs to look at with regards to our main pillar banks within Ireland, that they free up capital internally without stringent lending rules around it to see can we get funding into the market for that small builder. I suppose what we're really looking for though, Pat, is, you know, we do probably need to think high rise a little bit, you know what I mean, to get, you know, significant supply.
Sure, but
into
I mean
the
you do that like in the centre of cities and towns. That's where you do it. You want to cram as many people, if you'll pardon the phrase, cram into the area where your services are, where your school is, where your public transport hub is, where the pubs are, where the shops are, where the post office is, where the bank is. That's where you want to have people. They shouldn't have to, you know, take a car ride to get to those services. So ideally that. But in the hinterland, there's no point in putting a big block of apartments in the middle of a small town in the west.
Not at all. Not at all. And what's happening out in the smaller towns, Pat, is that, you know, zoning is an issue. You know what I mean by that? And maybe it's time we start looking at compulsory purchase orders on land and you know, bring it out from the urban area and where we know there's restrictions. You know, and there's lots of things being discussed on the table, but I suppose the decision making on those needs to be faster. There's a good announcement coming today where the Minister of Housing is introducing a grant for property over commercial units within, you know, urban towns and city centres. A grant of 140,000 is going to be made.
Yeah, but Margaret,
available.
What we'll be watching there is whether or not they're going to change the rules, because
correct,
if you've got all these rules for soundproofing, for ventilation,
correct,
for access, for fireproofing, all of which are desirable, but maybe completely impractical for what they're proposing.
Absolutely. And we see that here from a mortgage perspective and a broker's perspective. If we've got a client that will come into the brokerage, Pat, that is buying a derelict property, it is quite challenging to get that through a lending process or a mortgage application process from approval perspective, because all of those grants are paid at the end. So the borrower needs to have the borrowing capacity to borrow upfront, do the works, and then, you know, be able to claim back on the grant at the end.
Okay.
So again, as I say, the regulations and the administration of those grants needs to be really looked at and take away the barriers.
I'll read you something which is a bugbear of mine. It comes from Paul. He says, in Scotland, you must first get a mortgage in principle, then find a solicitor who then registers your note of interest with the seller's agent. If many people are interested, a closing date is set for sealed bids, often offers over, submitted only by solicitors. They handle the formal offer conditions, legalities to protect you, as verbal agreements are not binding. How about doing something like that here? I bet estate agents would be up in arms, but we need to think outside the block now. Well, I mean, that's available at the moment. You can sell a house by auction, by private treaty, or by tender. And
yeah,
our private treaties turn out to be auctions, really, as we know, with the way estate agents behave at the moment. We've got a higher offer in. But you asked for 400,000. I've offered you 400,000. Oh, sorry. Someone rang in last night with a big, higher bid. That's an auction.
Yeah.
And
absolutely,
it's wrong.
Absolutely. And sometimes it necessarily isn't the higher bidder that you know, wins either. But I suppose the auctioneering practices in Ireland, Pat, are well regulated. You know what I mean? You know, you could nearly be guaranteed that there isn't false bidding going on, as every bid needs to be registered. So we can be confident that the bidding process is legit in Ireland. That's not necessarily our problem. Whilst it impacts on affordability and the purchase prices increase, so on and so forth, that is absolutely driven by lack of supply, and it needs to be addressed, and it needs to be addressed, Pat, in a crisis mode.
Okay.
You know what I mean? You know, not you know, we no longer, you know, based on the latest housing policy, we don't have an annual target, which in my opinion is a problem, because how do we hold anything accountable? We're being promised that we'll build 300,000 properties over a certain number of years. Again, not an annual target, not accountable.
All right. We'll leave it there, Margaret. Thank you very much for joining us. That's Margaret Barrett, Managing Director of Navigating Mortgages.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Hi, Anton Savage here from News Talk. Now, if you're a parent, you'll know the school question comes up again and again. Where's the right fit? Somewhere that's not just about grades, but where your kids actually enjoy learning and feel part of something. Nord Anglia International School, Dublin. It's actually Ireland's only IB continuum school, so kids can start there at 3 years of age and stay right through to 18 following the International Baccalaureate, which is recognised worldwide. The school is known as a warm, inclusive international community. Kids are encouraged to be curious, to try new things, and to build the confidence that'll carry them through life. So if you're curious, have a look yourself. Head to naisdublin.com. That's naisdublin.com. Now, I hope you enjoy your podcast.